super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
We're live. We're live again. We're anti, no, we're not anti-midget, but no, please, no midget calls this weekend, okay? Because I have a very special guest. He's a fellow writer. He's a performer. He's an actor. And he's an all-around crazy motherfucker. Welcome to the show, Joe Netter.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Pete, but you forgot one thing.
What's that?
I also have a very, very extremely large cock.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too. Oh, and you were
still... When it's in a midget's hand.
Yes. You're still doing the stunt ass stuff too, right?
I'm showing it off wherever I can. It happens to be the thing I'm most known for.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, and like me and Joe were just catching up because we haven't seen each other since Rock and Shock a couple of years ago, Joe had major back surgery due to the fact that he's been a stunt ass all these years.
Yeah, it was. It was quite intense, and it was a lot of fun because as they wheeled me into the operating room, there was about 12 people and they're getting ready, and I had to make sure to let them all know about the tattoo because I knew it was going to fucking, once they flipped me over when I was out, that's all they were going to see. Figured I'd at least give them a heads up as to what it was about so they didn't think I was an absolute complete freak for having my face tattooed on my ass.
That is a trademark of yours. That's definitely awesome.
It's, you know, to be honest, it's, I think, more what I'm known for than anything. It's never, hey, you're the writer, you're the actor. It's, nope, you're the guy with his face tattooed on his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and you know, true to form, because, you know, we've done this before. We did have something on YouTube, and somebody took it off. Remember that whole thing going on? That drunken three o'clock in the morning room interview we were doing?
Yeah, I don't remember much about it, and it was pretty vulgar and fucked up. And I think Cinema Wasteland, we did that one.
Yeah, I don't know who took it off, but it's gone. But you know, just to show, you know, just to let the people who don't know some of your credits, you were the stunt ass in Starship Poopers, The Sum of All Rears, Harry Squatter in The Shower of Gold, the House of a Thousand Assholes, The Ass Keeper in the new Smurfs movie. I know you did a cameo as the big blue ass. You had told me that, and you were also in Cowboys and Assholes, Assformers, The Dark of the Moon, Mr. Pooper's Penguins, Butt Pirates of the Caribbean, Stranger Tides, Hole Hunter, Empire of the Ass, and Homo with a Hot Gun. So you've been pretty busy still, even though, you know, your ass was cracked from the one bad stunt you did.
Yeah, and I'm actually quite proud, especially the new Smurfs movie, because it's taken me a number of years to finally do a film that my kids can go watch, and it's quite breathtaking on the big screen.
Yeah, I can imagine. And
So we can't talk about midgets, but we can talk about Smurfs. Is that the same thing?
There's been this whole bit undercurrent because I traumatized Todd up at Wasteland. You might have actually been there when me and Amrith were throwing all the midget porn at him.
And oh wow!
We got a backlash that an angry woman juggalo midget called in and tied up the show for a whole hour 2 weeks ago. Then last week, the mother of two midget kids called in, ranting and raving, and Ken was on, and she called them a drunk. And I offered her kids gainful employment as mud flaps for my truck, and then she hung up. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been fucked up, you know?
Well, I wonder if Smurfs actually have midgets. I wonder if there's such a thing as a midget Smurf.
Just a smaller version, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet my dick would look really big in their hand.
Yeah. Well, I love that one scene when you basically fired all those Smurfs out of your ass at the finale of the film, you know?
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. And that was one take.
Yeah, I can imagine.
One take, and we only lost three of them.
Yeah, they sort of got lodged in your colon, I remember. I read the trades.
Yeah, they're somewhere up there. But,
yeah. Well, they sort of were Smurfs
belong.
Well, if you got the Smurfs running around in your colon, it sort of aids the digestive tract, too, you know? So.
Yeah.
Have you been writing anything
you know
since...
Me.
Have you been writing anything since Zombie Bukkake?
You know, as always, I have certain things brewing. I'm putting the finishing touches in a new short story collection that's going to go out to people here pretty soon. So that's pretty much it fiction-wise. shit, I mean, I've been mainly doing films, working on a lot of films and that kind of stuff. But no, Zombie Bukkake is the last book that actually came out and has been surprisingly well received.
Yeah, I know. I put it. I enjoyed it. You know, aside from the obvious, it was a good read, and I believe I put it over in Scars when I was writing for them. And you know, I just said, you know, I said a lot of good stuff about it, which I meant. You know, I just can't remember that because I'm going to light up this joint right now because it's past, you know, my bedtime. But
yeah, well, no, and I appreciate it, and that's what most people. What the hell? I mean, you go into a book called Zombie Bukkake, and you know it's going to be fucked up. But I really tried to put a good story around it too. Because, you know, I like fucked up shit, but if it's just pure fucked up for 200 pages, it might get a little stale. So I wanted a little character development around it.
Oh, the
not
characters
a lot,
were
just
great.
Enough.
Yeah. And you want to tell the quote from George Romero when he read the book?
I believe his quote is, I didn't know zombies could come, which I was very proud of. I pulled that quote out of him at Universal Studios when we were at the theme park. Not to name drop, because I hate name dropping, but, you know, what the fuck.
Oh, yeah, I've met George. George is a nice guy.
Yeah. I fucked him. No, I didn't fuck him.
Yeah. Well, but speaking of that, you know, you must be real happy because of this whole same-sex marriage thing going on. Now you and Uncle Creepy can legitimately tie the knot.
Well, see, but that's the deal. Once it becomes legal, it's over. What's the point anymore? Mm. I mean, it was fun when it was dirty and rotten and nobody wanted to see it, but once it becomes legal, it's, you know, it's no longer fun.
Yeah, those were such nice wedding pictures you had, too.
I know. That was an emotional time in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pure beauty and the way he gazed into my eyes and, you know, gave me a nice Arabian goggle. It was beautiful.
I know.
I don't know if you know what Arabian goggles are.
Maybe you better explain it to the people who don't know.
Well, that's when you sit on somebody's chest and you put one of your testicles in each of their eyes and you stretch your nut meat around behind their ears. It's called Arabian goggles. It's pretty sweet.
Sounds romantic.
Any listeners out there that haven't tried it, you should definitely do it. And if you do it from behind with a boner, it's called the unicorn. So, you know, give that one a shot too.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, sounds interesting. I'll have to, you know, put that on my itinerary of things to do when I actually get somebody to fuck, you know, but.
Yeah. Well, happen. I used to do it to my ex-wife all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she's my ex-wife, but, you know.
Yeah, after a while, they don't appreciate tricks for some reason.
You know. No, they don't.
Yeah. So what films have you been doing? You've been working with anybody we would know, like Tiffany Shepis or anybody like that?
Yeah, I did a film with that hasn't came out yet with Tiffany Shepis and King Hodder. Caroline Williams was in it, Ashley Bank from Monster Squad, Leslie Easterbrook. It's an anthology film called Monsterpiece Theater. That's actually a couple years old and still hasn't came out, but I'm hearing it should be coming out soon, I hope. I wrote a couple of the segments and then starred in it, did a couple scenes in it. One of them was actually me and Uncle Creepy. I wrote a part for us as a couple stoners, which was, you know, quite the stretch. And then we have a wonderful scene where we're both pissing at a urinal and decide to have a masturbation contest if you can come first, which is a lot of fun. I'm sure it's going to get cut from the movie because, you know, I was really going to town because I'm method. I like to really do it, but and Creepy won, of course. Although I don't know, you know, whether that's a shame that he came before me. I mean, I guess it just means I last longer.
Yeah, I heard they had to discard that whole urinal too.
Probably.
Yeah.
They probably did. But yeah. What can you do? I mean, it was a funny scene because we roll into it as the camera dollies in. We're both, you know, pissing, and I've got my pants and underwear around my ankles and just standing there bare ass, you know, kind of like Butters in South Park, just because I try to get that ass tattoo in every fucking film I do.
Yeah.
You know, just because, you know, it deserves to be seen. My ass is just absolute pure beauty. And I try to show my dick as much as possible on film too, since the camera adds 10 pounds. But, you know.
Yeah, what was that new trick, a new thing you were doing? You were walking around with your yam bag hanging out of your zipper or something? I remember.
Probably. I don't know. I my balls have been out at numerous shows. I like to take them out and just show people. My goal whenever I do like any kind of reading or performance or anything at a show is I like to make people walk out right away. Those that aren't going to get what I do, I'd prefer to just have them leave immediately. So I do my best to insult them right away. And like Cinema Way saying, you go in and introduce me, and you know, just based on the introduction, they should realize what the fuck they're getting into, but they don't always. And I like to find the ones in the crowd that are most, offended by it and just look uncomfortable, and I like to really weigh into them. Yeah, but I haven't been arrested at a show yet.
No, I know. We came
pretty... I'm happy about that.
We came pretty close the night of the big blackout up there, though.
Yeah, that night was, that was a hell of a night.
Yeah, that was like Dante's Inferno on crack. That was great. That was my first show. Yeah.
Was that your first one?
Yeah.
We started on a good one, man.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember that show about 2 a.m. I remember leaving my hotel room with a full bottle of Southern Comfort.
Yeah.
And then half an hour later, realizing it was gone as I just chugged it walking the halls. And
no, I'll tell you
what. The rest of the night's kind of a blur.
You had it stuck in your head like the bottle of a water cooler. It just kept bubbling down your throat.
Yeah, it was a good night. I mean, I love Cinema Wasteland. It's a great show.
Oh yeah.
And any Cinema Wasteland people listening, I do plan on coming back at some point. So I hope everybody there hasn't forgotten me.
Ken's probably listening. He usually listens on Saturday night when he's got nothing better to do. He was on last week defending midgets, and a lady turned around and said, "Sir, have you been drinking?" Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Imagine accusing Ken of drinking.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
On the radio. I mean, I smoke pot on the radio, but that's okay. You know,
it's my show. There's no problem with that. Well, I just took a few oxy before I came on, just, you know, to mellow my back out since it's so sore.
Yeah.
But the prescription and the prescribed and it's perfectly legal, so
yeah.
Anybody that wants a bitch can just, you know, come over here and suck my dick.
Yeah. So's the weed, it's for my glaucoma.
Yeah. No, and I mean that. They can come suck my dick. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and you're home alone tonight too, so right.
Yeah, my girlfriend's not. I don't care how ugly they are either, because the way I've always looked at it with a blowjob is really, why is it weird for you to let an ugly chick blow you? You're putting the thing you pee out of in their mouth. It's not degrading to you, it's degrading to them. So it don't matter what they look like. You're putting the thing you pee out of in their mouth.
Yeah. You know, hey, when you're stoned any port in the storm, you know, it's drunk and stoned, it's even worse.
Yeah.
You could wind up at Monster Mania. You never know.
Yeah. I haven't been to that show in a long time.
No, I'm persona non grata. Yeah. They don't love me anymore. I did something very bad, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. It seems that whenever I speak out about a perceived injustice, that people just take it to the extreme and say, oh, you're no longer welcome here. Well, guess what? I don't give a fuck. Because now I'm in Ohio. It's too fucking far to drive.
Yeah. And they give you the boot. Well, I mean, you fit in nice there at the Ohio show, too. Wasteland's a nice home for you.
I know. It's you know, Ken and Pam are like family to me, and, you know, we are family, actually. And, it's the Isle of Misfit Toys. It's great, you know?
Yeah. So,
and the people, you know, the one thing about the Wasteland audience as opposed to a lot of the East Coast, you know, shows is the people up there really appreciate the genre, really appreciate what I do, what you do, and what everybody else does. That's what makes it cool.
I always loved being there.
Yeah, there's like 300 people standing online 3 o'clock in the morning to meet Freddy Krueger for 5 minutes for $35, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's, you know, everywhere you go in the country, every show has got a different vibe. And Wasteland always had more of a dysfunctional family vibe where, you know, the fans are all together. Everybody's cool. There's no bitching. There's no drama. There's no egos. People are there because they love the classic films. And a lot of that has to do with Ken's guests. He books a lot of the cult guests that aren't your normal, everyday people that you see everywhere else that are going to charge you, you know, huge sums of money for an autograph and then huge sums of money for a photo. You know, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
There's still some good shows out there, though. I mean, I'll do Rock and Shock every year. I love that show.
Yeah.
Gina puts on a good show. That's a lot of fun. And, really takes care of her guests.
Yeah, I always said, I don't know if what I do even jives with what, you know, they do, but I, you know, did that one show when I was helping out Sid, and it was, you know, really a well-run show for a big show, because usually the big shows are complete clusterfucks, but that one was completely professionally run, you know, the people that were in there gave a shit, you know, they took care of the people, and that's what counts. You know, if they ever want, you know, if they ever want me back as a guest, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, I can work something out, you know, I'm easy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I look for in a show, is just that it's going to be cool, the vibe's cool, and you're not just cattle being herded in, and, you know, because I'm pretty low maintenance, I'm low drama. Just give me a place to get fucked up and have a little fun, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, me too. Let me make a couple bucks, cover my expenses, and I'll do whatever you want, you know, within reason.
Yeah, just so there's no midgets involved.
Yeah, I won't fuck a farm animal on stage. No. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the right amount of money, but right now, no. But
yeah.
Well, you're,
I don't
you're,
know
you're,
if I would.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how nice the animal is, though, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's and how bad it didn't want it. I think I'd fuck a farm animal if I could rape it, and it totally didn't want me to. But like most things, they just bend right over for me and let me take it. And that's, there's no fun in that.
Yeah, I know. You've always had the relationship with a lot of things out there. I realize that, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's part of being me is I just, you know, exude so much manliness, just everything falls in love.
Yeah, I know. You should just have, you know, a cologne or something, you know.
Yeah, I should.
I don't know what the hell you go with them.
Yeah, who knows. Fuck.
Joe Juice.
There you go.
Yeah.
That might work, but you know, it's just, you know, wouldn't be fair. It'd be just, women would have no chance then.
Well, you could always dilute it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could overpower it, so that way, you know, whoever's working only gets older women.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, well, maybe you could concoct the brew to, you know, work on various age groups, you know, depending on the potency.
Yeah, that might work. And then, you know, for me, it works in all age groups, but I could mix it down a little bit. That might be a good idea, and it'll fall in line with, you know, a book I started to write but never really got back around to. Just that was something called How to Bang a Hot Chick, which Sarah was going to be on the cover of the book and everything, which is going to be my guide to how to bang a hot chick. Since as goofy and as fucking weird looking as I am, I've never really had a problem. A lot of just attitude.
Yeah, it's like you and Ron Jeremy. There's a perfect example, you know.
Yeah. That's you know, you just, it's the prime for the taking.
Yeah.
Except for Sarah. I didn't take her. She's a very sweet girl, and we have a loving relationship and all that. But she fell under my spell. But, you know, they all do.
Yeah, and she seems like she's a keeper, so. You're
yeah, she's a very sweet girl. We're having a lot of fun together, you know, and she lives with me now, and it's all good. We traveled all the shows together, and you know, it's cool. It's cool being with someone that's in the industry and gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't, you know, get weirded out by everything. You know, when I'm doing my stupid shit, she'll just sit there and laugh at me. As opposed to getting mad and upset. So, I mean, it's really cool. It works out well.
Yeah,
plus
I miss
you know, attracts. She attracts people to the table, too.
Yeah. Well, she'd have to, because you certainly don't, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Come on, I can remember the two of us sitting across from each other, like, shit-faced, like, 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon, wondering nobody's buying shit from us, you know?
Yeah.
And then you put a hot chick at the table, and bang, we're good to go.
Yeah, and they're right there. Well, see, and it's funny because she sells some topless pictures at the show, and I would be behind the table all the time watching these kind of pervy, you know, guys come and look through the photos and because they're in a binder, and spend, you know, 20 minutes looking at all these topless pictures. So finally I said, fuck it, you know what I'm going to do? So I took a nude picture of myself and put it in the middle of the binder so that when people are leafing through it, I just sit there and wait for them to get to the page where I'm laying in bed naked. Which it was done as a goof, but then of course some guy bought one. Which was cool, you know. So now I had to have more printed just because it lost its fun. And they're also fun to, if I'm next to a guest that happens to sneak off and go on break, and cover their table up, I'll sign one of the nude photos for them, you know, thanks for last night, and I'll put it right on their table so that everybody that comes by will see it sitting there, you know, and get all freaked out. I think the last one I hit up with that was Jake Busey. You know, to Jake, thanks for last night. Love, Netter.
Oh, shit.
A big old picture of me naked in bed with my balls. It's beauty. It's pure beauty. I enjoy a con. As long as I can take one fucking memory from the weekend that I'm never going to forget, I'm always happy. And I seem to always create the memories somehow.
Yeah, then you wind up getting emails and pictures with you that you don't remember.
Yeah, well, the one Cinema Wasteland was the one where, you mentioned the blackout where the hotel had a blackout. I also had one show where I blacked out pretty much the whole weekend. And I learned my lesson. When a fan hands you a handful of pills, you don't take them all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Was I at that show?
Oh, man, it was a show where I stood behind my chair, behind the table, all Friday night with my balls out, passing out joints to people when they came by. If the girls would show me their tits, and it was a fucking mess. It was a fucking mess.
Oh shit! I don't remember that one. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, that might have been the one right before the blackout. But it was bad. I have very little recollection of the whole weekend.
Yeah, but I remember every time there was a picture of you at the same show, you had a different drink in your hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of open to that. I'm a firm believer that I bring my own, but if someone wants to hand me something, I'm probably going to drink it. And I'm famous, obviously, for my 2-liter rum and Cokes I carry around at all times.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I drink what I'm given because it would be rude to turn it down.
Is this true? I just keep telling people, oh, what can I get you? Give me a Corona. I can sit there and suck them down all day and it won't even fucking faze me.
I can't believe this, Pete. Still got callers, man. You want to take one?
Who are they?
I don't know. I have no idea. No one.
Let me see. Okay, well, let somebody in. We'll talk to them.
Okay, we've got you are live right here with 42nd Street Pete and Joe Netter.
Hey, what is happening, guys?
Ken.
Hey, yeah. Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
I'm doing all right. I didn't want to cut off whoever was just talking.
Fuck it.
What's happening, guys? I was actually listening, and the worst part is I was sober, so I didn't bother calling until and then Todd must have went out because I called. You're sitting here. Well, hey, I'm smoking this fatty. Joe's there. Well, I took a couple Oxy, and they're prescribed. It's like, that's funny. I just took a Vicodin out of a container that had somebody else's name but not mine on it.
Uh-oh. That midget defender is going to call now.
That midget defender?
The midget defender.
Little people defender.
Yeah.
The defender of those, you know, that aren't quite that high and can't ride the ride.
Yeah. I'm the unfortunate ones that make my dick look much bigger.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Did you ever do a midget, Joe? You would be the one to ask. You probably have done a midget somewhere along
the way. I haven't. No? I haven't. I would nail Bridget the Midget in a heartbeat, though. I think she's pretty hot. I'm sure you've seen some of her films. She's all tattooed up, and I know she works at the Bunny Ranch off and on out in Nevada, but I think I probably would bang her.
I borrowed a couple from Todd, but I haven't watched it yet.
What? Get out of here.
No, I'm not dying, though. I'm sorry. I slipped out because I was called sober tonight. I'm sorry. Although I am making a drink right now. Just cause
there you go.
I couldn't get on the phone. I even told Pam, I said, man, if I just sit here and listen, I'll probably stay sober. But if I get on and say, hey, Joe, what's up? I know I'm going to pour a drink.
There you go. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it has, man. and I did pour a drink the first time I called, so I'm halfway through.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I got one now, too. So do we all have liquor?
Yes.
That's yeah, awesome. I don't.
No?
No, I'm trying to place this phone call away from my children who are downstairs.
Okay.
Because they probably don't need to be listening in on me talking about banging midgets who... You know, really, you don't ever even bang a midget. You more just pick up and masturbate with them, pretty much. But
pretty much, yeah.
And then after you come, you spike them like a football. That's great.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you can pick them up like a bowling ball, too.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty fucking sick. But, yeah, you're right.
It's Joe. I swear to God, I was not going to make this call because he'll just bring out the best in me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you did. That's, you know, what I do.
You're actually going to do, you're going to make horror realm, you think? Isn't that where you are? Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Joe? Yeah. Everything looks good. I got nothing scheduled. I've got doctor approval to travel. So, looks good.
I'll be there.
Good. We'll see you there. I know you might still be, you know, taking it easy, but I'll still see you there.
Well, I don't have a cane anymore. I'm walking without it. Everything's good. We'll definitely be there. Last year was a bummer because we had to cancel last minute for a film. That then, last minute, got canceled anyway. So it was a bummer. We ended up sitting home depressed all weekend. I had to take the film because it was going to be starring Tom Sizemore, and I had to try to experience that just to experience it. But... big surprise, it all fell apart. There's a shocker.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Yeah, but you got to take it easy, too. The big thing.
Yeah.
Now you got the... and now you can just, you know, get back to the road of recovery. And,
yeah.
And, man, it was funny you were talking about before I hit the phone again. That's what made me dial a second time, because the first time I didn't pick up, and then the second time you were like, I lived the lesson when someone gave me a handful of pills. I saved your ass that night because I'm the only guy big enough to brace myself and grab you as you were falling.
Yeah,
funny. Everybody's like, whoa, here goes Joe head first into a stucco wall. I was like, brace myself, said, hold on, we'll get him there. And you did take me back, but we gently hit the wall. I spun you around a little bit, and you just went, whoa.
Yeah, you're my savior that night.
Yeah, especially from a seeping head wound, and you know it's never funny until someone gets a seeping head wound.
Yeah, no, that was a bad night. I woke up the next morning in my underwear in somebody else's room, and my wife was looking for me, and it was not a good situation. Evidently, there was some girl in the bar that said she was a big fan of mine and told me she wasn't wearing panties, so... I went to check under her skirt and instead shoved my finger up her ass, but, you know, what the hell?
Hey, it's close. You were within an inch?
Yeah, it was pretty close.
That's pretty good when you're driving blind.
Yeah. It could have been worse. I could have fallen on her, but...
it could have been worse. You could have woke up the next morning in somebody else's underwear.
Yeah. That's
in
true.
Another room.
Or maybe her underwear.
Yeah.
In another room, and couldn't find yours if you looked.
Yeah, well, the thing that pissed me off the most is at some point when I passed out, somebody shit in my pants. I don't know who did. But some fucker came and shit in my pants.
There's an old joke. There's an old joke about it.
That happened.
I don't know. It was a good time. I don't remember much of that whole weekend. I know I've seen a video of my reading at that show, and it's just basically me for an hour making fun of everybody that's sitting in the audience.
Find a 20 in your pants pocket, so maybe the guy who shit in your drawers left you enough to get him cleaned.
Yeah, left me some money. I don't even know what I found anywhere. I just know I learned. Don't take a handful of pills.
Yeah.
Split them up between two
bottles. Take them one at a time.
That probably would have been the ideal thing.
Or just mash one up and snort it.
Well, you know, and I was, when I took the handful, I was standing with next to Kane Hodder, and he looked at me and was like, what the fuck are you doing? I said, well, you know, fuck, it's from a fan. What am I going to do? Say no.
Yeah. Until you woke up, and went, wow, I don't remember anything after a certain point.
Yeah.
And it's Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much most of my recollections from Sunday. The Friday and Saturday is pretty shaky. But you know, I'm a firm believer, and I learned a lesson from that.
When I was a kid, me and a guy knew swiped some Quaaludes from his grandma, and we went partying and drinking. We were teenagers, and I did a Quaalude, and nothing really happened. About an hour later, I did another, and then I guess I just walked zombie-like around the house for a few hours before I sat down and dozed off. And I was like, wow, do they give these to grandma to shut her up, or what the hell are they supposed to do to grandma, you know?
Yeah, well, when you black out on something like that, it's an eye-opening experience where you're like, holy fuck, I could have did anything. During that time period, I could have fucking did anything.
Yeah,
and probably did. Who knows what I did that I don't even know about? Nobody came up missing that weekend or anything, right?
Do what?
No.
Nobody came up missing?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe occasionally someone might come up missing, but I guess it's standard.
Okay, good.
It's not my business.
No. And if I don't remember doing anything to them, then I can't be held responsible.
Yeah. True. Well, Yeah, true.
As long as you don't leave the body out where anybody can find it.
Yeah. Well, you could probably just chop it up and sell it at the table as props.
to be honest with you, they say the hotel's usually got a big box and a mattress on it, and they never move it to clean it, and it's really dry. So if you just left it under the bed, they probably wouldn't find it. It would just mummify. It would do a Yvette Vickers, just sit there and dry out over time.
Yeah, and a year later, they'd find it.
Really? I mean, like, if there's no larvae under the bed, then it'll just dry out and mummify. It won't stink so just in case anybody, hey, kids, do we have any potential serial killers? That's a great place to leave your first body. They may not find it for years.
Yeah. And every year you can go back to the hotel and get the same room.
Yeah, get the same room and sleep over it again. Don't even look. Just go back and know it could still be there and giggle to yourself like Norman Bates.
Yeah. Just lay in bed masturbating right above it. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, I would do that too.
Yeah.
Good. No, nobody's calling in and complaining about this. We bash midgets. That's bad shit. We're talking about cutting people up and shoving them on their beds this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but we didn't name them. We haven't named anyone yet.
No.
Yeah.
We haven't picked a specific genre.
No.
So, we're not really bashing anything, and we're not really bashing a corpse. We're talking about...
If it just so happens you black out and you kill somebody, you can't be held responsible.
Yeah, if you wake up next to a body, let's say, then, you should really have a contingency plan to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
See, this? I didn't know this was going to be so educational for everybody.
Right. Yeah, see? You can learn something.
And you got to find somebody in your life you trust, because, if you're listening to this for advice, kids, you need a good alibi, too.
It's frightening me, Pete. We got to go to break.
We're going to break?
On that note, I don't blame you.
That's kind of scary.
We'll be back with more recipes from Ken, Joe, and Pete.
Created a monster, and they call him Frankenstein. And the tavern down the street is the laboratory where he makes the transformation all the time. And a sign of Dr. Bud is a pint of monster blood. And it does affect me different every time. Budweiser, you created a monster, and they call me Frankenstein. And they call me Frankenstein. Yeah, I'm Frankenstein. I'm Frankenstein. I'm drinking.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
We're back.
We're back with more nonsense and mayhem with the Ken, Joe, and Petey show.
Yes.
For those of you who just...
We like to call it, or how low can you go?
How low can you go?
That people might think it's about limbo.
No, it's, you know, just great to have Joe on, because I hadn't talked to him in a while, and then, you know, and Ken hadn't talked to him in a while, so he's just way up the street, you know, it's miles and miles to walk, but, you know, we do it every day, but, you know, he's up there calling in, because...
Yeah, yeah. It was either that or I had to walk over your house and crowd in on your microphone. And it, yeah. And it's not that it's far, it just didn't seem worth crowding in.
Yeah,
unlimited long
distance. Walking.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind walking. Walking part's good for you.
Yeah. 6 whole minutes exercise.
Wow, man.
Ultimate dog tease. That's the name of the YouTube video, guys. I'm talking dog. Ultimate dog tease. Remember, I wanted to throw that in because that's how we totally flopped before the break there, talking about it. So.
Well, during the break,
it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's called Ultimate Dog.
I'm sure if they Google search that, they might get a different video.
Dog.
But I would keep it YouTube specific.
Yeah, starring Linda Lovelace in the Ultimate Dog video.
Check under comedy. It's safe for all viewing and very funny if you like dogs.
Or bacon.
Are you looking for it right now? What?
What were we talking about? We were talking about something at break.
Oh, yeah. Ken was telling a story about the show he was doing.
Oh, I did a show, yeah. I did the Fright Night Film Fest in Louisville, and I'm not dissing the show. The promoters are friends, and it was nice to see everybody there, and we make money, and we'll be back. But they gave me a lanyard. I just usually like a pin, you know, them things that hang around your neck. And it said vendor on one side, but was completely white on the other. So in a Sharpie marker, I wrote a sarcastic, condescending douchebag on the white side. And then kept noticing people were, like, you know, snickering and pointing and or friends making comments. And I'd look down, and it was always out, you know, on that side and showing out. And I figure there's just truth in advertising, so, you know, what did I care? But later on, I'm standing there just, you know, my normal bullshit during the day, and, man, I'm 6'2", about 285, 290 pounds, and a guy that's, you know, 4 inches all the way around bigger than me is standing there with his buddy, and we're talking, and somebody said something, and I spit out the old joke. I said, man, you know, it's always funnier when somebody loses an eye. And this big dude looks at me and goes, oh, yeah? And he pops his eye in his hand, and I just about pissed myself laughing.
Wow.
And this guy's looking at me going, oh, and he's laughing at it, too. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I already told you. It's always funnier when someone loses an eye.
Nice.
I said, and then I had to tell him the truth that I lost an eye when I was a kid, too. I just got lucky and they jammed it back in. But my brother literally stuck me in the eye with a stick and one in a million shot. It just squirted out and hung there until the doctor put it back in. Then I looked like one of them douchebag kids that had to wear an eye patch to school. So if you're one of those kids, you look dumb.
Did you get the black eye patch though, so you at least pretend like you're a pilot?
No, I had the douchebaggy doctor patch, you know. Just that white, that thing that sticks out like you lost an eye.
Well, the black ones are cool. You can either be a pirate or the guitarist from the band Kansas.
Yeah.
Not that anybody will get that reference.
I thought it was even funnier later in the night. It's got to be about midnight, and we're standing around the hallway, and I'm sucking down margaritas from some guy's 5-gallon jug. Even though I don't like them, it saved me a walk to my room for some whiskey. So I'm drinking those, and all of a sudden, this big guy and his buddy walk by, and they're half-tanked, and he looks at me, and he goes, it's the sarcastic douchebag! And I was like, hey, one eye!
Nice.
And I had to stop and block a hallway laughing for a while, because between us, it might as well have been an immovable object. You know, there had to be like 700 pounds of dude standing in the way, chuckling at each other. So that's
the beautiful things about horror fans and the horror conventions. And you're not going to see that kind of conversation happening at a sci-fi con or fucking, you know, anything else like that.
Yeah, I got the same thing. One time I'm looking at a guy cutting down. I like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I fucking hate the sequels, right? So I'm ragging on them to somebody and about how they have no continuity and they're all crappy. And he's like, dude, he's got this giant Nightmare on Elm Street motif going up one sleeve of his arm, you know? And I looked at him and I said, well, fuck, better you than me, dude. Can you imagine what kind of hypocritical cocksucker I'd be if that were my tattoo? It's just funny the shit you. Oops, I really didn't mean to step in that pile on you there, but yeah, I don't mind. I'll just clean off my shoe and move along. But it's funny. Stories on the. I wanted to write a book just about. I've been doing these shows for over 20 years. You know.
I think you should do it. It'd be a frightening.
You should. You shouldn't write a book. Books are for nerds.
Yeah, nobody reads
reading and writers and
nobody fucking reads.
It's lame.
Maybe I'll just do a blog.
Yeah. You're not a writer. You're a content provider.
Content provider.
Yeah, that's what somebody told me. We'll give you a chance to showcase your skills. Fuck you. Everybody knows my skills. I don't really have any, but what I got, people like. So
let me show you a few more. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me teabag your fucking eyeball. That's one of my skills.
Here's a skill for you.
Yeah, there's a skill.
Drying out somebody's eye using a testicle.
Yeah. Doink, 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 doink.
It'd be better if it had a Three Stooges like sound effect too.
Yeah.
Doink, doink, doink.
Who's doing that?
Me.
It's not me.
Joe got quiet. Did the OxyContin go over?
Hey, dude.
I'm good. I'm here. I'm just soaking it all in, guys. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Are we all going to be at Horror Realm?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm a guest, too.
I'm cool. A guest.
Hmm? Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Me and Art had a panel last year. Two people showed up for it. So we asked them what they wanted to talk about. I'm not too embarrassed about that. It was 6 o'clock on a Friday. You know, you open at 5, you put up a panel at 6. You got hardly enough time to get drunk and remember funny shit.
The worst panel I've had at a show, the panel was scheduled at 9, and the show opened at 10.
Yeah.
I mean, we as writers, we sat there, and nobody could even get in. They weren't allowed in. It wasn't like your hotel where you could still go to the rooms. You had to pass through the area to get to the panel room.
Like 10 years ago, I watched a show, and if I thought about it, I'd remember what show. But I watched them show August Underground on a Sunday morning, where the only thing that really separated the room from the rest of the room was like one of them, you know, 6 or 8 foot curtain thingies. So, you know, so I just imagine hearing all that shit coming through the curtains, you know, at August Underground, and they're showing it, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. I'm like, well, I know it beats church, but it's still quite right for Sunday morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Yeah. I watched another show, Charlie's Family, Jim Van Bever's Charlie's Family on a Sunday morning one time. I was like, that doesn't make any sense at all. He showed his short films, you know, including the one called My Sweet Satan, and then, you know, on a Sunday morning, I was like, there's some scheduling there.
Yeah, you should run the church, on Sunday morning.
The church, yeah.
Yeah, the church.
Well, you can do a bunch of church-related, you know.
You can do a bunch of nun
movies.
Nun movies on, you know, nun movies would be great for a Sunday morning, you know. Sleazy-ass nun movies.
But that's so obvious, Wasteland. We're not doing it. You know what we are doing this time, this show, though? On Saturday morning at 9:30 in the morning, we're showing the old banned Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, like Coal Black and the Seven Dwarfs and all that shit they said you can't watch no more because it's just considered a little bit, you know, some World War II anti-Jap stuff. And we're going to show a whole hour worth of that first thing in the morning, so. We don't know what the word politically correct means. They're cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, that should automatically discount it from any kind of, oh, they're bad, they're racist. It's a fucking cartoon.
It's a cartoon. They're still funny, okay? We get a mixed crowd at Wasteland, I'm sure everyone will be in there laughing at that.
I don't know if that's first thing Saturday morning. Fuck, maybe I won't even open till 11 o'clock. Fuck it.
Yeah, that'll start. Well, the show don't open to 10, so we're gonna start the cartoons from like 9:30 to 10:30 or you know, going on 10, whatever. It'll be a packed reel. But yeah, they're just cartoons. We just thought it'd be fun because no one ever wants to screen them. My buddy puts cartoons together for other shows, and he's like, everybody stays away from them. I'm like, you got an hour's worth? He goes, yeah. I said, reel them up. we shy away from nothing on PC. We both love and hate everyone through the door at Cinema Wasteland.
Yeah.
We have no...
Well, that's obvious. You always gave me an hour to do whatever the hell I wanted to do.
Yeah. Sometimes there are still people there when your hour is done.
Yeah, I know. Well, I like the walkouts. I would enjoy watching
them
walk out.
That's what made me pick up. Yeah, that's what made me pick up the phone when you said that earlier.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, we've had some oddball Wastelands, some of the stories. I don't like the ones that people remind me of, like the one everyone reminds me and Gasly sitting in a hallway at 3:30 polishing off a half gallon. You know, like gurgling like the drunks in, you know, the beginning of Clockwork Orange. And, you know, making them gurgly, wordly sounds. I expected some droogies to come by and hit me with a stick. So I've had those nights. The other night, me and Killjoy polished off a half gallon in like 3 hours, man. And you should have seen Pam freaking. We didn't even open it till like 11:30 at night. And we just flipped the plastic lid off the top of a half gallon, and we're sitting across the bed from each other, passing it back and forth. Pam leaves us alone and splits. And then we got up and left, poured ourselves some drinks and came and left, some big glasses of whiskey. It had to be like 4 o'clock in the morning. We decided to stumble back and see what was in the bottle. And there might have been an inch or two in the bottom of the bottle. So we plopped our ass back down and we're hitting it again. Pam walks in the room and goes, you motherfuckers did not just drink a whole half gallon of liquor sitting there. I was like, we drank a whole half gallon, but I think we kept walking back and forth. Cause we were
you're mobile.
Huh?
As long as you were mobile at some point and got up, then there's not a problem with that.
Oh, no, I'm sure Killjoy walked out of the room and Pam just, you know, poked me in the forehead and poof, I went out right there. Because I knew I woke up in the morning with a... going, what the fuck is that funk? And there it was right on the nightstand, you know, open half gallon of liquor with about a half an inch left in it, just fuming off, you know?
Oh. Wow.
Kill it.
Well, you have a good, you always recuperate well.
You do what's left in the bottle, you jump your ass in the shower, you drink some coffee, you take a shit, and you move about your business. In that order, too. Remember, it's crucial to keep the order.
Well, I multitask. I shit in the shower.
Well, you know, sometimes after a night of whiskey, you'd never know. It'd all go down the drain. Wouldn't clog up a thing. The splatter,
well, I mean,
you
can mash it down the drain with your toes. It's kind of gross, but...
You drink a half gallon of liquor or two, and, you know, you could... shit through a straw and hit something at 20 paces and, you know, hit a bullseye at 20 paces.
Or a midget.
Can't we, guys? You know, Pete hasn't lived here long enough for me to have an embarrassing story to tell about him.
Well, I'm sure it's a matter of time.
Oh, yeah, give it time. I'll just call
Pete.
Him and tell this.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. You were there, then you were gone. And it's perfect timing because it's the end of the show.
Cheap ass internet connection, but Joe, thanks for coming on. Great talking to you. Great having you on. I'll have to have you on again. And
it was great catching up with you guys. It was had a good time. Hopefully, we'll see each other soon.
Yeah, likewise, brother. See you in Pittsburgh.
All right,
cool.
Yeah,
definitely a horror realm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, our pleasure. All right. Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah, bye.
Later.
Wow.
Until next week, stay sick.
See ya.
I was